Man, Ephesians chapter 6, I'll begin reading at verse 13. I'm dealing with the armor of God, understanding spiritual warfare. This is part two of this sermon series, understanding spiritual warfare. You ask me how many other parts is it? I don't know. We'll leave that up to the Lord. Amen. But verse 13, the scripture reads, therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We'll stop right there this morning. Understanding spiritual warfare. Understanding spiritual warfare. Last week we began this series dealing with our understanding of knowing our foe, knowing our force, the force that we have in Jesus Christ. He is our strength to overcome the enemy. Then we discuss understanding our foe. Back in verse 10, understanding our foe, the enemy, Satan, knowing his strategies and his schemes, that we're not unaware of his strategies. The word of God has told us about our enemy's schemes. And then we discussed in verse 12, verse 11, we understood the type of fight that you and I are in as Christians. This is not a flesh and blood fight, but this is a spiritual battle. This is spiritual, spiritual battle in heavenly places. And we phrase the whole thing Star Wars. Warfare going up in the galaxies, and it gives you warfare there. But our warfare is spiritual in nature because it's taking place in heavenly places, and we are engaged in spiritual warfare, whether you know it or not. If you name the name of Jesus Christ, you are in a battle, spiritual battle, a spiritual war. And so now I've given you the first three F's, the force, understanding the foe, and knowing the fight. Well, here's number four. We must be properly fitted for spiritual warfare. Say fitted. We must be properly fitted for spiritual warfare. Verse 13 says, therefore, take up the full armor of God. And it's a repeat of verse 11, which says, put on the full armor of God. And now in this passage, he gives us two reasons that you and I need to have this armor on. Two reasons why we need to be properly fitted. The first one is this. He says, because there is an evil day coming. That's reason number one. You need to write that down. The reason we need to be properly fitted, the reason that we need to have on the armor of God, is because there is an evil day coming. An evil day coming. It's right there in the text. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. Now the evil day, first and foremost, we understand that even right now, you and I live in an evil day. We live in an evil day. All you have to do is turn on the TV. All you got to do is look at the local news. All you got to do is look at the national news. All you got to do is look at the global news. We live in an evil day. We live in an evil day. And if you as a Christian are going to stand in this evil day, you better have on the whole armor of God. It's an evil day. It's an evil day. But not only is it an evil day, and when we look at it in terms of this world in which we live, but the evil day also represents that personal day. There's a personal day. There's a time in your life and in my life that all the forces of hell will attack you and will attack me. There is an evil day coming. Now some of us may be coming out of that evil day. Some of us may be in the midst of that evil day. But I guarantee you that evil day is coming. It is coming. There's an evil day coming. Listen. There's going to come a day and a time where you and I have to have on that armor of God for that evil day. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Listen, many of us have had evil days. We've had evil days, and we may not have fared so well in that evil day. May not have fared so well in that evil day. Some of us, we've handled those battles. We've handled that evil day in the right way, and we were able to come out of it. Have I got a witness in here? But whatever the case may be, there is an evil day coming. Now, the question is, here it is, isn't there? If you have not experienced an evil day, then there may be a salvation issue. Y'all better hear me this morning. Listen, if you have never experienced an evil day, if you never experienced an evil day, salvation might be the issue. Because those who seek to live godly life, the Bible says we will be attacked by the enemy. And if you're saying, well, Satan ain't never messed with me, then you're no threat to Satan. Yeah, as a matter, you probably aren't saved. Because if you are genuinely saved, anybody know what I'm talking about? Those of us that are genuinely saved, Satan gets mad at us. He's mad. He's our enemy. The moment you say yes to Jesus, you have an instant enemy, and his name is Satan. His name is Satan. But these attacks come. Listen, these attacks come when you're up, and they'll come when you're down. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Look. Job, you all. Job 1:1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless. That man was upright. That man feared God and turned away from evil. This is what the Bible says about Job. Job was a good man. Job was an upright man. Job feared God. But then if you continue reading in chapter 1, beginning at verse 13, it says, now it happened on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house. They were partying. Yeah, they were partying. They were eating and drinking wine in the older brother's house. Remember, I told you, if you go to the party, don't sin. You can go to the party, but don't sin. Amen. But they were eating and drinking wine in the brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, telling this to Job, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking and partying and wine in their older brother's house. And a storm came and swept up the house and killed every one of them. And Job was an upright man. And all of this happened in one day. In other words, I heard a preacher say like this, Job had one hell of a day. That's an evil day to lose all of your cattle. Lose all of those things that you, and then lose all your kids. That's an evil day. That's one hell of a day. Listen, one hell of a day. And then Job was an upright man. That's what the Bible says. But then, not only do these evil days come when you're up, those evil days will come when you're down. Have I got a witness? Look, Matthew 4:1. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. He was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now, this was a low moment for Jesus in his flesh. He was hungry. He was a man just like you and I, but he became hungry. And while he was hungry, his evil day, his evil test came. Satan came at him to tempt him to turn the stones into bread. Now, this was a low moment, and that's what you've got to understand. Whether you're up or whether you are down, that evil day is still going to come. But God has told us that we need to be prepared for this evil day. And listen, that's the first reason. But the second is God expects us to stand in the evil day. You need to write that down. That's the second reason. God expects us to stand in the evil day. Look, verse 11, look what it says. It says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand. Then look in verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to what? stand, resist in the evil day. And then having done everything to what? And then verse 14. Listen, stand. I mean, that's crystal clear. That's jumping right out at us. God expects us to stand in the evil day and not to fail and not to lose heart and not to give up and quit and throw in the towel. No, we're to stand in the evil day. There's an expectation that you and I stand. Look, if stand means you don't run. Do y'all hear me? Stand means that you don't run in the evil day. You got to stand there. You got to be willing to take it for the glory of God. Listen, you can't retreat. There's no retreating in God's army. David, when Goliath challenged the children of Israel, the Bible says every man failed at heart, including King Saul. They were all fearful of this giant. No man was willing to stand in the gap and fight. Not one. But then David, servant of God, stepped up to the plate and took on Goliath. God expects his children to stand. Say stand. Now you got to be able to stand. We got to be able to stand. There's no time for weak Christians. There's no time for Christians to run from the enemy. Listen, God has equipped us. God expects us to stand. Listen, if we don't stand, you may as well throw it away. Look, that's the reason the world is where it is right now, because Christians aren't taking a stand. We're not taking a stand. We've thrown in the towel. But we've got to have on the armor of God so that we will stand. We will stand. Now, let me talk about this armor, the armor. He says, put on the full armor of God. And then he tells us in verse 13, take up the full armor of God. Armor, literally is a complete set of instruments of a foot soldier prepared to engage in defensive and offensive warfare. That's what this army is. It's a complete set of instruments of a foot soldier who's prepared to engage in defensive and offensive warfare. Now, the scripture gives us six pieces of armor. We're going to go through each one of them. It gives us six pieces of armor. And we are told to put on, and we need to be fitted in this armor if we're to withstand the attacks from our foe in this spiritual battle. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now, I'm going to give a description of each piece of armor, but then I'm also going to explain how we need to put that armor to use, how it works in our lives, if we're going to stand. Y'all listen, I know that we are in the last days. I know we're in the last days, and y'all, persecution is going to increase. The Bible says that persecution will increase, but the question is, will you stand? Will you be willing to stand? Will you take on the whole armor of God and stand in these last days? Listen. The first, I want to describe it, and I'm going to tell you how we're to use it. But the first piece of armor he gives us is the belt of truth. Verse 14, he says, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. There's a picture of that Roman soldier's belt that he was to tie around. Now, the garment that the Roman soldiers wore and most people wore back during this time, it was an outer garment. They cut the sleeves off and just cut around in and put that bad boy on. Now, you're talking about fashion. But this garment was a loose garment. And when it came time to move forward, when it was time to go, you'd have to put a belt on to make that thing tight. You have to tighten it up with that belt. That's the belt of truth. You have to tighten it up. And with that belt, not only that, other pieces of the armor were attached to that belt. The sword was attached to that belt so that as you engage in combat, you have easy access to that sword. And I'm going to be talking about that sword a little bit later on. but the belt of truth girded around your loins, your waist, is tightening that thing around you so that when it's time to go, you go. Y'all hear what I'm saying this morning? If the belt was loose, if that belt was loose and you tried to engage the enemy and you began trying to run toward the enemy and all your stuff is just flopping all over the place, your garment flying all up in your head, can you imagine what that would look? You going toward the enemy, all of a sudden your garment right up in your head. Ah, you done. You're done. But that belt tightens everything and it holds everything together. And what the scripture is teaching us is that the truth, you got to have the truth of God's word. You got to have the truth so tight that you understand it. And we're dealing with doctrines. You got to know the Bible. You got to know what God says in his word when that evil day comes, because the enemy is the father of lies. Oh man. The enemy is the father of lies. And normally what happens when we're in spiritual warfare, the enemy is quick to tell you a lie. He's quick to tell you a lie. Anybody, y'all, somebody know what I'm talking about? Listen, when you come under the attack of the evil one in that evil day, one of his greatest tactics is to lie to you and lie to me. But if you know the truth, then you can combat the enemy. You can come back the enemy. Listen. That's a big issue. That's a big issue. Jesus told his disciples in his prayer, his final prayer before he went back to the Father. He says, look, I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He says this, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Truth. Thy word is truth. When the evil day comes, y'all hear me. When the evil day comes, your opinion, how you feel, what you think, don't mean nothing during those evil days. You better know the truth of what God has to say about that situation. See, we fall prey to the enemy when we start giving our opinion. Or when we start operating on what we feel. Y'all know how feelings come. Feelings come and feelings go. One day you're up, one day you're down. But when you're under attack, it's the truth that will keep you during that time. So many people have bought lies during that evil day. They start believing a lie during the evil day that the enemy has given them, as opposed to understanding the truth and appropriating that truth during that particular time. That's the problem. I told y'all last week. You know, when we get angry, that's a feeling. Get angry, you get mad. How the enemy just, he wiggles right up on you. And he whispers a lie in your ear. Go ahead and cuss him out. Lying. And here it is. God know your heart. It's a lie. You tempted a woman, brothers. Woman. And the lie is nobody will know. You don't want to pass that up. Let's be real, brothers. But the truth is what the word of God says. See, it's during those times of testing that Satan will lie to you. Look, he came at Jesus. Now, here's the crazy thing. He came at Jesus with the word. If you read Matthew chapter 4. Matthew, he talked about if you know God will dispatch his angels to take you up, you know, lest you dash your foot against a stone, jump over the cliff. And Jesus said, you shall not test the Lord. Now, the Bible actually said it, but Satan used it and twisted it, which wasn't the truth. Y'all got to understand how Satan is subtle. He's the father of lies. I mean, can you understand? The father of lies. Can you imagine having that title? The father of lies. And he's been doing it a long time, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You and I have to understand the truth, and you've got to know the doctrine. You've got to know the Bible. That's one issue that we as Christians struggle with, is biblical illiteracy. Biblical illiteracy in the church. You know, it's a sad thing when if Sunday is the only time you open your Bible. You can't stand in truth like that. No. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to spend time in the word of God. You got to know what truth is. And that's the problem. That is a huge problem in the church. People say they believe in Jesus, but then a storm comes, and it's like they never knew him. Because you're not operating in truth. It's truth. Our enemy is the father of lies. And we live in a world that's full of lies because the ruler of this world is a liar. You know, this saying that all roads lead to heaven. That's a lie. And it's amazing who people who name Jesus believe that. And you can't believe in Jesus because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the lie. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's a lie to say that all roads lead to heaven. And I don't care who the TV personality is, if they don't believe that, they lying. That is not truth. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the truth. You got to believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Every word of God is true. Every word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Listen, you got to believe that a donkey talked. That's true. Some of y'all looking like, huh? Numbers 22. Y'all to read that. That's a great story. Balaam and his donkey. The donkey talked. And you and I have to know the word. We've got to know what the truth is so that we're not taken over and taken advantage of by the liar, Satan. And listen. When you're under attack, you can't stray away from the truth, because it's not just truth when it's here. It's truth when it's here. You know, again, when that time gets tough, boy, it's easy to want to bypass the truth and believe a lie and go away from what God has already revealed in his word. And see, so many people are in bondage, y'all. So many people are in bondage right now because they're living lies. So many people, and I'm speaking of Christians, that are in bondage because they believe some lie. So many people are believing that I gotta have this person in my life to function. No. You don't have to have that person in your life in order to be who. You know, so many people will share and say, you know what, I'm with this person because I'm the only one that's gonna be able to get them to Christ. And I want to stay with them in this relationship, even though the relationship is all jacked up. But God has me here to lead them to him. God don't need us. He used the donkey. Amen. God can set people free without you living in sin. Ooh. Listen, those lies, I gotta have this, or I have to have that to be who God wants me to be. And you enslaved trying to get this and trying to get that, not understanding that the Bible says, therefore, if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. Don't become a slave to something, some object, or some person. God has liberated you, and you need to know the truth. That's what sets us free. It's the truth that sets us free. So many people are living a lie. I was born this way. That's big now. Y'all getting quiet, but that's big now. I was born this way. In a homosexual, I was born a homosexual. That's a lie. That's a lie. Nobody's born that way. That's a lie. Think about why would God allow somebody to be born that way and then judge them for it? Come on now, come on. That's a lie. So many people are believing lies of the enemy, and that is not the truth. It is not the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And see, you and I have to live this thing. It can't be fake. It has to be real. We've got to appropriate that truthfulness to our hearts and our lives. This is what it means to put on the belt of truth. Belt of truth. It's got to be. You got to know what the word says, y'all. We have to know what the word says. We've got to know what God says so that when those lies come, we can take the word of God. Take the word of God and say, that ain't true. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. These people in these professional places, they're in high places lying. High places lying. High places lying. They'll look you right between your eyes and just lie to you. And if you don't know the truth, it sounds good too. Look, most of them are professors. Many of our young people go to college. They go off to school. These are professors with PhDs. They smart folks. Smart folks, PhDs, and they're lying to them kids. Lying to our kids. Lying. Lying. Kid come home and tell the story about what the professor said. Boy, he's a PhD. I don't care. If it ain't the Bible, if it ain't coming from the scripture, it's a lie. It's a lie. Listen. If it's not coming from the word of God, it's built on a lie. It is built on a lie. And we've got to know the truth. We pray for our kids. We pray for our kids, and we got to give our kids everything. That's why, parents, you ought to have your kids in children's church. Amen. Man, are y'all out there? Not only that, in youth ministry, in youth ministry on Wednesday night at Refuel at 6, they start serving. We even feed them physical food. We're doing everything we can because we want our kids to know the truth. They are being lied to. Y'all listen. Every time they put those headphones in their ears, it's another lie. This rap music is lying to our kids. It's lying to our kids. They've got these kids going after this stuff, and it's all lies. And parents, having them in youth ministry, having them in children's church is critical. Amen. Look, now, I know we live in a day where sports and extracurricular activities are huge. I mean, they playing ball on Sundays now. AAU is on Sundays now. Back in the day, every boys club was closed on Sundays. I went to the boys club. If it was open, I wouldn't have went. I'd have been in church. But the boys club was closed on Sundays. There were no sports and extracurricular activities going on Sundays. No, that you were going to church. Not only were you going to Sunday school, you were going to 11 o'clock. You were going to 3 o'clock. You were going to Baptist Training Union at 6 o'clock. And then you were going to evening service that night. All in one day. But here it is. Coach Rackley said it years ago. He says, when times of testing come, you can't stand on a football. Y'all need to write that one down. All of that's good and that's fine. But when those times of testing come, your child better know the truth. Child better know the truth because they are going to be lied to. That little girl, some knucklehead, going to lie to her. There are young ladies walking around right now with low self-esteem because they don't know the truth. That God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Truth, the truth. That's what we have to have on this belt of truth. The next piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 14b says, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this next piece of armor, it was used to guard the heart and the other vital organs. You see that piece of that armor there, it went from the neck all the way down to the waist. And it was to guard the heart and other vital organs necessary for life. These organs were necessary. The heart is necessary for life. These organs were necessary for life. And in the same way, in the spiritual armor, in the physical armor, in the spiritual realm, righteousness is important for life. Righteousness is important for life. Y'all hear me this morning. It's important for life. Righteousness. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. That's an issue that most people struggle with when it comes to salvation. Many people will say yes to Jesus Christ, but they forget that righteousness goes with that. Righteousness goes with that. But with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Righteousness. We're justified through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, don't get it twisted. It's not our righteousness, but it's his. It's his righteousness. But I want y'all to really understand this. Now I've kind of given you the description of what it is, but I want to tell you how we need to use it. This righteousness, it combats the assault of guilt that are given to us by the enemy. That's a big that's a weapon that Satan uses. Satan likes to use guilt to attack us in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. When we commit a sin, what Satan wants to do is first, see, he didn't lie to you, number one. He's already lied to you and got us to believe. He lied to us and then he gets us to believe it, and then we commit the sin. And see, Satan is dirty. He don't ever stop. His goal is total destruction. And so once he gets us to sin, his next move is to make us feel guilty. And that's why righteousness is so important. I'm going to show you a scripture in reference to that. This is to combat the assaults. Zechariah 3:1 says this. 3:1, 3 and 4 says this. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Now here's Joshua. Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Now Joshua, verse 3, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. And he spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, remove the filthy garments from him. Again he said to him, see, I have taken your iniquity away from you and will clothe you with festal robes. Now again, Satan's job is to accuse you and me. That's what he wants to do. When he gets us to sin, his next thing is to throw that guilt trip on you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever committed a sin, ever done something wrong, and you start feeling guilty? Well, that's the enemy trying to make us feel guilty. But see, those of us that are in Christ Jesus, we've already been justified. God has already given us a coat of righteousness in Jesus Christ. Are y'all hearing me this morning? So whenever I sin, or whenever you and I sin, Satan gonna come right behind and make you feel guilty. See, some people will stay at home when they sin on Saturday. Oh, yeah. Some people will stay at home on Saturday because they feel guilty. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do I have any witnesses in here? Listen, I've been there. I've done that. I know I'm not the only one in here. But what the enemy tries to do, some people at home right now because they're guilty. And the worst thing you can do is allow him to put guilt on you. Because whatever you did on Monday, whatever you did on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even Saturday night, Jesus Christ already paid for that on the cross. Amen. It's already taken care of. And see, that's the enemy wants to put the guilt trip on us. And what the Bible said is, I've removed your filthy garment. That goes back to that song. That goes right back. Oh, lose all your guilty stain. It's all gone. It's all gone in Jesus Christ. And we stand before a holy and just God, righteous. Not of our own, but of Christ. Jesus, that's why it's important to go through Jesus. That's why it's important to have a saving relationship with Jesus. See, people in all these other religions, this is what separates Christianity. All the other religions of the world, you got to work. You got to try to do something to gain righteousness from God. You got to do something. You got to go to Mecca. You got to go witness so many people. You got to do all these different things in these other religions of the world to obtain favor or righteousness with God. But it's not so with us in Christianity. No, the only way that you and I can stand righteous before a holy and just God is to embrace Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Because he paid for every one of our sins, past, present, and future. And future. And see, the enemy wants to make us feel guilty. But you got to look at the enemy and say, hey, I'm not guilty. Christ has already covered that. I remember a story one time that was told of a person who was standing before God on Judgment Day. And as they're standing before God on Judgment Day, there's Satan, the accuser, constantly accusing, saying, yep, he did this back in 1980. I remember he did this. Back in 1985, I remember she did this. Back in 1990, I remember he did this. Remember when you did this? Remember this? Remember this? Remember that? That's what the accuser is doing. He's constantly throwing out those accusations as you're standing before this holy and just God. But then the story went on to say, but God looked and said, wait a minute though. I see a red stain. Hey. I see a red stain on this person that you are convicting. That red stain represents the blood of Jesus. And God took his gavel and stomped it and said, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. And don't ever let the enemy ever put the guilt trip on you, because we've been liberated. We've been set free in Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. Romans 8:1 said, there is now no condemnation. Oh, I like that. I get happy every time I hear that. There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. In other words, when somebody starts accusing you, when you start hearing accusations, somebody saying you this and you that and you this and you that, you got to remember what the Word of God says. There's no condemnation for those of us that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Not only that, this breastplate of righteousness, it goes another way. I want you to understand this too. Unrighteousness, here's why we have to have it on. Unrighteousness leaves us open to the enemy. Y'all better write that one down. Unrighteousness leaves us open to the enemy. Now I'm going to show y'all what I'm saying. This is a powerful passage of scripture, and I may have to stop right here, but I want y'all to get this. 1 Corinthians 5:1. And 5 says this. This is Paul dealing with the church at Corinth, because there was a lot of stuff going on in that church. A lot of unrighteousness. But in verse 1 it says, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles. Now he's telling them, y'all got some stuff going on in there that they ain't even doing in the world. That's what he's telling them. It's some stuff. You doing that? There's some immorality going on in that church that's not even happening in the world. He says that someone has his father's wife. That someone has his father's wife. A son is sleeping with the mother. This is going on the church at Corinth. He said they're not that. You outdoing the world. Now look what verse 5 says. Because I want you to understand this. Unrighteousness leaves us open to the enemy. Verse 5 says this. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Deliver such a one up to Satan. This unrighteousness had gotten so bad so bad that this person has been turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That's deep, y'all. And now you see the repercussions of living in an unrighteous manner. We open ourselves up for the enemy. That's real. You know, you many of us have seen people that perhaps you may have grown up with, and you've been knowing them a long time, and you've kind of grown, and you look at them and you're just like, wow. You go to class reunion, you're just like, wow. And they just look beat up, just beat down. No life, no smile, no vigor, no joy, no nothing. You know what it is? They've been in the enemy's camp, and the enemy's been wearing them out. And that's the destruction of the flesh. And that's what unrighteousness does. Say, look, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what eventually happens when a person lives in unrighteousness, when you don't have on that breastplate of righteousness and you're not trying to live right before God, you open yourself up to the enemy. And then the last part of this, having this breastplate of righteousness on, having the breastplate of righteousness on helps us to maintain our testimony. I need to write that down. That's the reason you need to have it on. It helps us to maintain our testimony. There comes a time when under spiritual attack that many times Christians lose heart. They give up and they want to abandon doing the right thing. Doing the right thing. I was talking to a gentleman just yesterday. Was just saying how, man, it's been real hard for me to try to get back on my feet. Some things happened in my life. Some unfortunate things happened in my life. And man, I want to get back on my feet, and nobody wants to give me a chance. And he says, now I got options. And some of y'all know what them options are. He says, I got some other options, man. And I'm having a hard time, man. And I know God said he loved me, you know, and I'm trying to serve him. But man, nobody wants to give me a shot, man. So, man, I'm thinking about exercising my other options. That's unrighteousness. That's unrighteousness. And that's what happened during those times of testing. Those times of testing, people will tend to do what's not right in order to get through that test. And no matter how hard it gets, you've got to still stand strong during that time. Not only for yourself, but other people are watching. Other people are watching. Let me show you. Let me close with this. Here, Job. I'm dealing with Job because Job was tested. Job 1 says, again, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. Now, we went on and we read the rest of that, how Job had a hell of a day. That was a test like none other. But I love this in verse 22. It says, through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. That's righteousness. I mean, that's righteousness to have to deal with what he had to deal with, for people to come and kill all of his cattle. Y'all know how we get. Let somebody do something to us. Let somebody take something from us. Man. Let somebody harm us. Let somebody harm us. But through all of this, the Bible says Job did not sin. Then Job had another day. Another hell of a day. If you read chapter 2, and his wife came to him at the end of the day. She said, do you still hold fast to your integrity? You still want to do what's right? Look at all that you've suffered. Curse God and die. But Job said to his wife, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Man, Job was bold. I almost missed that. Job was bold. Miss Job told him, you still trying to do the right thing, Job. You always trying to be holy. Do the right thing. Why don't you cuss God and just die? I mean, Job had sores. Job's breath was bad. And I believe Job got right up in her face. When he told her that, I believe Job got all up in her face and said, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" And all of this, Job did not sin, even with his lips. Even with his lips. Listen, during the evil day, I don't care how hard it gets. I don't care how tough it gets. I don't care what lies the enemy throw your way. Stand on righteousness. Do the right thing. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. And see, he tells us to have it on for when the evil day comes. Amen. That means you should already be doing right. Living right. So when the evil day comes, you already used to doing right. It's not even an issue. But see, you can't try to put it on in the middle of the battle. I mean, think about that thing. There's a soldier out there trying to fight, and the enemy is coming, and you're supposed to be going toward the enemy, and you're trying to put on your stuff, going to do battle. Oh, you're going to get taken out. You need to be battle ready before you go out there. Amen. And in the military, they have have inspections. You got to inspect all of your equipment. TA-50, that's what it was called. I told you I was supply. But it was TA-50. TA-50, and they inspect all of your equipment. All of your equipment to make sure that it's ready. But when you went in the formation, when you got in formation, when it was time to go in the battle, you had to have it all ready to go. Amen. Dress right, dress, ready to go. Ready to go. And the same in the spiritual realm. We need to have on the armor of God. We need to have on that belt of truth and that breastplate of righteousness. And we're ready for the enemy. Ready for the enemy, because that evil day is coming. The evil day is coming. I'm going to stop right there. Can't even get into the next one. But we'll pick it up next week.